You today that God is in love with you. What if somebody came to you that you trusted and they said, and you were single and they said, I've got somebody I want you to marry. You never met them before. You never met them before. They just say, I got somebody I want you to marry. And they said, and you start asking questions, of course, since you don't know the person. And your friend tells you, well, they're upright and they're breathing. They have most of their teeth. I think you would question the whole thing. And what we've been talking about is very simply this, that Christ is not going to marry anybody he doesn't know. And so it's very interesting that about 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to choose a bride. That was the purpose. He came to choose a bride. And not only did he come to choose a bride, he said that also this bride should be baptized. And so when you come to Christ, it's as though you are engaged to Christ, which as far as God is concerned is a permanent contract. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, he says that you're to be baptized, and that's a public announcement. You're announcing to people. Usually when you're baptized, there's witnesses. And so you announce to people that I'm engaged to Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, when you announce to people that you're engaged to Christ, if they know you, they know and you know that there's got to be a little work done before you get to the wedding ceremony. Correct? Mm-hmm. And that's what we've been talking about. A bride, if you're a bride, it usually chooses a dress, and a particular dress, and the dress is usually very fancy and has all kinds of fancy work on it. And that fancy work is the work of the saints. That's the work of the saints. And we've talked about this on Sunday night, but the fact is that we're preparing our gown, we're preparing our garment to be married in before Christ. But before you can really adequately do the work on the gown, you have to let the Holy Spirit work on your soul. Because by the time that we get to Christ, by the time he comes for his bride, by the time that he shouts, it's time, we need to be preparing our soul because he's marrying us, our soul. He's marrying who we are. And the Bible says that a process begins, hopefully, at salvation, that you and I are going to be conformed to the image of Christ. We're not all going to be the same, but we're going to be conformed to the image of Christ because we have studied the fact that every single one of us are unique. There's no two alike. There never will be throughout the history of mankind. Now, we've been talking about our worth. What is our soul worth? And we've been talking about that fact. Not only did God love us, but also did he choose us. But we are great worth because we're one of a kind. And that makes us worth something. If you have a one of a kind of anything, it usually gives us great worth. We are also permanent. We talked about this. The only thing that dies and the only thing temporary about us is our body. That's obvious. Our soul lives forever. Your soul will not die regardless of where it goes. And we've talked about that. So our soul is extremely important. Your soul is your personality. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. Your soul is everything that makes you unique, that makes up you, if I can put it that way. And Jesus wants a bride that's enthusiastic about Him, that's enthusiastic about preparing for the marriage, excited about it on a daily basis, wanting to get up and to prepare for that period you have every single day, because we do not know the day He's coming. And we need to be preparing every single day. Now, if you were the husband or the groom and you were going to marry somebody, you want somebody that's going to abandon themselves to you. I mean, give everything to you. Just with abandonment. And I am yours, and we're going to be together forever. And so we're preparing for that. If you were the bride-to-be, hopefully, you would deal with any debt. You would deal with any relationships that weren't right. You would deal with anything in your life that wasn't ready when you go into the presence of Jesus Christ. And so we've had, so far the church has had about 2,000 years. Many of us have had 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years to prepare. And we have a little while longer if we're here this morning. And so, but we don't have a lot of time to prepare. And so that really is what this whole thing's all about. Some people have a lot of time to prepare. Some people have a short time to prepare. But the point is that Jesus wants us to know Him. He already knows us. He knows everything about us. He knows everything we did. He knows everything we're doing. He knows everything we're going to do. And He's also made it very clear we're being evaluated on everything that we do. If you watch the Olympics, and if you watch any of the skating competition, you find out that every move with their feet, every move with their body, every move they make is evaluated before the judges, and they're going to determine what reward or no reward that you're going to get. It's not any different in the Christian life. We're going to be prepared. We're going to be judged on how we prepare for Jesus. We're going to be judged on that. So you say, oh my goodness, I'm in big trouble. Well, if you are, this is the day to start preparing. This is the day the Lord has made. This is the day the Lord, He's given us His Word. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us all of these things. We are preparing. And that's the number one priority for the bride. And Jesus is going to marry somebody that's going to be basically in agreement with Him, you see. Because you're going to do things throughout eternity with Him. I don't know how your marriage works if you are married, or how it did work if you were married. But I know this, on a proper marriage, yes, the man's ahead, the woman is there, and he's to take charge of things. We know all about that. And Jesus is taking charge of things, I'll guarantee you. We don't have to worry about that part. He said that He's going to care for us. So our only responsibility is to respond to Him. Because I don't know how it works in your marriage, but when I married Grace, I determined that we were going to do things together. And whatever we do, we talk it over, and if we're going to do something together, we talk about what we're going to do. If we're going to watch something on television, we decide what we're going to watch together. I might have what I want to watch. She might have what she wants to watch. But we're going to talk about it, and one of us is going to give in, you see, because we want to be together in everything that we do. You say, that's the extreme? I don't think so if you read the Word of God. Being conformed to the image of Christ is knowing Him, getting together with Him, and understanding that you're going to be with Him forever. And so we have some preparation time, and that's the only reason we're on this earth.
That's right.
There is no other reason. Yes, we can be married. Yes, we can have children. Yes, we can have that. And incidentally, I just had another granddaughter, a little girl, a couple days ago. And it was wonderful. And my son, he was in the delivery room, and he said, I don't know how anybody could possibly be in a delivery room and not know there's a God. Amen. That's what he said when he came out of there. He said, I don't know how you could possibly believe there wasn't a God if you're in the delivery room. And so that was nice, and it's all wonderful. And I love my son and that little girl that just came into the world. But the first time I held her, I prayed that she was going to quickly come to Jesus Christ. You see, that's the reason she's here. You understand? She wasn't here for me. She wasn't here even for my son. She's here very simply for Jesus Christ. And so I prayed over her, and I prayed an anointing on her and so forth, because I want this thing to start out right. You see. And so that we have to understand what's important in life. And if you understand that and you have children, you're going to understand the most important thing you can teach them is to come to Christ and then live for Him. That's the most important thing in their life. That's more important to me than my marriage to Grace. But I love Grace, and we spend time together and we do all this. But the Bible says that my relationship with her is supposed to be a picture of being married to Jesus Christ. That's what marriage is. So everything that's not like that, you should pray about, and everything that you need to change, you should pray about that, because you see, Christ should be more important than your fancy car or your motorcycle or your dog or whatever. You got it? Jesus is more important. Your bride is more important than your house, more important than your job, more important than any of that. And Jesus said, if you read the Word of God, He said, you're more important than the moon, the sun, the stars, and the entire creation of God, because He created it very simply for you and I and Himself. That's the reason it was created. There was no other reason, you see. And so it is important how we look at God, and we need to understand that we're permanent. I understand some people don't believe that, but they're probably not here today, you see. Because being here today is because you know what I'm talking about is important here, not because I say it, but because the Word of God says it, you see. So we've talked about the fact that we are valuable to God. We've talked about the fact that we are permanent, we will always be, because God created us like Him in that manner. We find out that we have great value because we're one of a kind. That's why you need to take care of yourself. You're the only one of you there is. You need to take care of that for the groom, for Christ. That's what this whole life's about. If we can get a perspective about what this life is about, you see. Because the enemy is going to try to get you interested in things. He's going to try to get you interested in relationships. He's going to try to get you interested in anything that can take you away from focusing on Christ on a daily basis in your life. It might be something good that people would think is good, but in the eyes of God, it's not worth much unless we focus on Christ. We find out that the more useful also something is, makes it valuable. You know? You do have a tendency to get used to things. When I wash the dishes, in my house, Grace cooks, I wash the dishes. I love to wash the dishes. It is so much fun. It really is. I can't wait to get to the dishes to wash them. You think I'm kidding. I am not kidding. But I would be very unhappy if I didn't have this certain little sponge that I'm used to wash my dishes. And anytime I can't find it, I'm hollering in Grace, "Where's my sponge?" I don't mind doing these dishes, but I got to have my friend here to do it, to help me do them. You understand what I'm saying? We get used to things because they're useful. Are you listening? And you say, "Well, that doesn't sound very romantic." Most of the women would say it is. And I think it's very important to be useful to the Lord, because when we're useful to the Lord, we're not just a thing, but when we're useful to the Lord, then He can use us to bring more into His kingdom. He can use us to speak His word and the power of God into life, into your life, into my life. And so we are to take care of our soul. It's very important that you have a healthy, maturing soul at this time in your life. There's never a point where you stop learning in Christ, because you will spend an eternity learning of Him and getting to know Him. And it'll take an eternity to know Christ, because there's so much about Him and so many wonderful things about Him, and He is God. And so it'll take an eternity to learn all this stuff, so you never stop learning. Every time I hear something I hadn't heard before, I say, "Wait a minute, is that true? Is that right? If that's true in the Lord, that sounds like a good thing. I'm going to look it up in the Word, find out if that's right. Because I want to grow, I want to mature, I want to know everything about the one I'm going to be with for eternity." You see. And so, the real reason to care for your soul is, and in your practical life now, is because you're going to learn what you learn now, you're going to use that later when you're with Christ. Everything you learn of the Word of God, you'll use in eternity. We're in school, and we're learning now how to rule and reign with Christ. If you can't rule and reign your soul with your soul now, you're probably going to have a hard time when you get there, because it's not like a lot of people think, "Well, when I'm with Jesus, voila, everything's going to be wonderful." Not necessarily. The Bible says there's going to be some weeping and gnashing of teeth in heaven, meaning there's going to be a lot of people that get there that realize they didn't take care of their soul, they didn't mature in the Lord, they didn't grow in Christ, they weren't preparing for the wedding, and when they get there, they're going to find out they don't know the person that is over them, whose name is Christ. So, it's a process of learning these things. Now, it's very interesting. If you have a healthy soul, a lot of times you don't have a lot of sicknesses that other people have that have an unhealthy soul. I'm trying to tell you the facts now. If you have a healthy soul, it's going to help your body be healthy. Such as if you had a healthy attitude, it's going to help your body. If you're full of anger, it's going to be a problem for your body. So it's extremely important as how you take care of your soul. The doctors would call these psychosomatic illnesses. It means there's something wrong inside that's causing a problem on the outside. There's something wrong in your soul that's causing a problem in your body. Because if you have a healthy soul, you'll have a healthy body. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it is, you see. There's very interesting things. This is nothing new. It's an old thing. But if you go out, you can go out in certain parts of the country and they got paths that lead somewhere. You take a path and they tell you that path will lead to something. If you have another path, you say that path will lead to something. And if you take a different path, that path will lead to something. You understand? Now, it's important to be on the right paths because every path goes somewhere. Every path goes somewhere. And so that's extremely important that you're on the right path. Now, you can see paths that certain people are on. You know where those paths are going to lead. You just know from experience where those paths are going to lead. Now, I'll tell you something about a Christian in the Bible that got on the wrong path. He didn't take care of his soul. He didn't take care of this valuable personality that God had given him. He started out wonderful. He was a tall, handsome man, and he was suddenly, from nowhere, came up to be king of Israel. He became the king of Israel. His name was Saul. And Saul loved God, and everything was going good, and he was winning battles, and all of a sudden, he got on the path of jealousy. He was jealous of David, if you'll remember the story. He got so jealous of David that he took his focus off of God. He took his focus off of the kingdom, and he put his focus on his jealousy towards a man. And because of that, he ended up being very disobedient to God. He ended up committing suicide on the battlefield. Now, in my opinion, the Bible says that God told him, he said, tomorrow you're going to be with me. That's what God said. And it ended up, he didn't plan on being with the Lord the next day, but it ended up he committed suicide on the battlefield. Now, there's a man who was a Christian that got on the wrong path. And because he got on the wrong path of life, and he got on the path of anger, and he didn't deal with that, and he didn't take care of his soul in that area of anger, he ended up committing suicide. And you see time after time in the Bible where somebody got on the right path, even though they went through problems in life, they got on the right path, they ended up at the right destination, which was going to be with the Lord, and being received and saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so you have this situation where you have to take care of your soul. Somebody says, well, you deal with your sin, and people say, oh, you know, I've heard that stuff before. Well, I'm going to put it a different way. Take care of your soul. Keep your soul clean. Keep your soul right with God. Keep your soul in a condition where you can learn, because if you let the enemy take you out of or away from the path you're supposed to be on, then you'll not grow in the Lord, and you're going to spend a lot of time in heaven taking the class over again. Can I put it that way? Because that's exactly what's going to happen. That's what it says in the Word of God. And so the issue is that you deal with these things to take care of your soul. You don't allow anger to stay in your soul when the sun goes down, the Bible says. You don't allow jealousy to stay in your soul because it will bring not only sickness to your body, it will stop you from maturing in the Lord and becoming like Christ, and therefore preparing for the wedding that we've been talking about. So it's extremely important how you take care of your soul. Now, every path you take in life leads somewhere.
That's right.
Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
It leads somewhere. And there's right paths and there's wrong paths, and you have the decision to make what path you're going to take in life. I'm talking about even if you're a Christian. Because Christians have their battles, as you well know. And so, if our soul is happy and our soul is fit, we're not only happy, we're in a position where we can learn of God and God can speak to you, because communication is extremely important, and when there's problems between a husband and wife, usually they're not speaking. Now, I know nobody here has ever had that, but I'll just not say anything for the rest of this day. You see? And guess what? When there's no communication, you don't learn anything. Isn't that right? If you don't have communication with your teacher, you're not going to learn anything. If you're not going to have communication with your husband or wife, you're not going to learn about marriage. You're not going to learn the other person, because there's no interaction whatsoever. Now, you see, we have to learn in this life to love. Not only is God is love, not only does God love you, he says you are to love. And the greatest thing in this life is love, he said. That's what he said. There's faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. And so the love thing is what you need to work on. With God first and with others as you have the opportunity. Now, we need to see God in everything and every situation. I'll tell you, every time you get in your car, you wherever you're going, you need to pray that God's going to give you divine appointments. You need to pray that, I don't care if you're going to the grocery store for milk, you pray that God's going to give you a divine appointment. We are preparing every day for God to work into every situation, because he is going to when we're married to him. But you have to prepare now. And, a bride, if she's fortunate, she's got two parents that are good models of marriage. Not everybody has that. And it's harder when you don't. I understand. But one thing about parents, they should be a model of Christ. That's the most important thing, because they're modeling for other people. And if you have the ability to have a clean, healthy soul, then you're going to be content, you're going to know who you are, you're going to know where you're going, and you're going to know what you have at this time. If you do not take care of your soul, you're not going to know where you're going, you won't know who you are, and you won't know what to do when you get there, you see. You know, people can fool themselves. It's an interesting thing about the soul. People can get so distraught in their life that they go to the doctor, and it's no reflection on anybody, and I'm not saying it isn't necessary at times, but you have to understand about medication, most of it is supposed to be used temporarily. I said most of it. And so you can get in such bad shape, you can go to the doctor, and he'll prescribe something, and you won't have a care in the world. You won't even You won't even know there's a world, practically. But I'm going to tell you the situation. When you stop taking the medicine, you're right back with the same soul. It didn't change your soul. The only thing that's going to change your soul is the Word of God. You see, medicine won't change you, your soul. You can't take any medicine that can change your soul. You can take it, it'll put you out of the ball game. You can take it and you won't know where you're at. You can do that kind of thing, but you cannot go to any doctor for any medicine that's going to change your soul. The only thing that's going to do that's the Holy Spirit of the living God using the Word of God to change us. Our soul is important. Now, I got a little thing here we're going to say, and then we'll quit here in a minute. But I'm going to read this and then have you say it after me if you so desire. I am remarkable. Highly valuable. My life in the body can be fuller and better than I ever imagined. My health and happiness and success in the overlapping physical and spiritual worlds comprise the practical part of why I must keep my soul healthy, whole, and growing. It is more important to keep myself healthy and whole than to gain the whole world. Amen. You know, it's an interesting thing that even millionaires die. It's an amazing thing. They can afford any doctor that there possibly is. They can afford any treatment. They can afford anything, and most of them probably would say that they would rather have their health than their money. Isn't that interesting? But with us as Christians, what we should say is, I'd rather have a healthy soul than anything else. Because that soul is going to be with the Lord. This body's not going to be. He's going to give us a new body, the Bible says. The body's not that important. And you're going to have one of the most unbelievable relationships with Jesus Christ that you could ever dream up in your entire life. Because it's going to be on a spiritual plane. And that spiritual plane is going to be like anything you could even imagine in this life. So the point of this whole thing is, Jesus came the first time to pick out his bride. That bride, when the bride is baptized, would say, I belong to Jesus Christ. And I want to spend the rest of my life preparing to be with him forever. That's what this whole thing is all about. And then there will be a time when he calls, there's going to be a shout. It's the time. It's ready. I said this before, but I kind of like this. I think God the Father's got a hold of Jesus' belt, and Jesus is pulling. He says, I want to go down and I want to get my bride now. And the Father's holding him back with his belt and said, wait a minute, it's not time. That's how anxious he is. That's how valuable and important you are. And that's why it's so important to take care of our soul. The enemy would have you bury yourself in yourself instead of focusing on Christ. And self-centered people cannot grow in the Lord. I say self-centered people cannot grow in the Lord. They're too focused on themselves and they're not growing and doing what God has called them to do. So you have to take your focus off yourself and put your focus on Jesus. Don't you know that if you were going to marry somebody and you were really madly in love with them, that you'd be talking about them all the time? The people around you get tired of hearing it. Did you ever notice that when you're in love with Jesus and you talk about him, and other people aren't interested, they get tired of hearing it? Most people say, when I got saved, I lost some of my friends because they got tired of me talking about the one that loves me and I love him. And that's the issue. It's an intimate thing. There are people that are married that never talk to each other, never really have a relationship. They just kind of live. They're married, but they just kind of live in the same house. They really don't have a relationship. that is not a model of Jesus Christ and his bride and his wedding. So I don't know where you're at today, but I would say whatever your relationship is with anybody, it should be a model of your relationship to Christ. It should be a picture of what it's going to be like when we're with Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's stand before the Lord. I want the musicians to come, the elders to come.